Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together, in one place, George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years' experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop. And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
And we're in.
Good evening, everybody. All right, and welcome to VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
That's right. Well, that's sort of a new take on the intro, I guess. haven't done that one yet. Anyway,
improvise.
We're here to help you out with voice acting, your home voiceover studio, and all sorts of other stuff that we can think of, usually on the spur of the moment, which is how this thing runs.
Damn, it's the illusion of preparedness. No, what am I kidding? Wait a minute. There's no illusion of preparedness.
The last 30 minutes before we hit the air here is usually utter chaos.
Exactly.
No, it's a smooth running operation. We actually have a great crew tonight too.
We do.
We have Karen O'Brien is there. She is our floor manager tonight, and Jim, our technical director, is also here.
Jim Manzo, yeah, baby.
Yeah, and he's like running the switcher, so you can be like on the air with me here.
I can breathe easy now. The show started.
That's right.
The rest is all downhill.
Hopefully.
It's out of my hands, ladies and gentlemen. Out of my hands.
Anyway, but we have a fantastic guest tonight, too. A guy who is just renowned in our business as not only just as a great voice actor, a great character actor. You got some screen credits, too, there, Dave?
Oh, a few.
Okay,
a few.
All right, we'll talk
about it. Some really bad movies.
And we're going to also have a little demonstration about mic technique, and we're going to use his marvelous voice and his expertise in this area as well to talk about my tip of the week. This will be a new way of doing the tip of the week, not me spending an entire weekend ignoring my family putting together these crazy videos.
That's right, man. We're here. Let's do it in person for reals.
That's right.
And we have a studio.
It's totally spontaneous this way. Mm-hmm. And a few other things. And so if you're there in the chat room, remember you can ask questions of us, and we might actually answer them. Did we get any questions for tonight from anybody? We'll check that in a little bit.
Yeah, I'll check it out in a minute.
Yeah. But first, it's time for the news. Yes. So we're going to get the news from our friends at VoiceOver Extra. So the VoiceOver Extra news for October 26, 2015. Now, today's topic is social media suicide. Specifically, watch what you write because others are watching you, like you're watching me right now. Now, you've heard this before. You've been warned that social media posts are sticky, like flypaper. You can't shake it off. You can't shake off what you've written once you've hit the enter key. Nevertheless, let's review it one more time. As the fun of politics explodes in the media, we're seeing voice actors start and share posts that promote ridicule in ridicule candidates and, well, have fun with it. But at your peril. You can have fun, but it's not a smart idea. Your potential customers could forever link your name to those views. And look, it's fine if you don't mind. Most of your clients would even agree with you, so those posts could be a plus. It's also very tempting to... Okay, see, now what happens when the teleprompter goes bad? For some reason, you lose the Bluetooth thing here. So
you can read off your show notes like old school.
You know, I could do that.
Like the old school
days.
There we
go. Yeah, it's where was I? I was right about... Okay, all right. This is fine. If you don't mind, maybe most of your clients would even agree with you with some of the things you have to say. Now, it's also very tempting to vent frustration with particular people or segments of the voiceover industry, but you could then be perceived as a complainer. You don't want to be a whiner. Mm-hmm. Someone difficult to work with, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, certainly a rant might burn a bridge or two for you. Now, I've been known to do that. And you've probably seen them. And you guys have probably seen them, too. Be careful how you rant, all right? Now, in an upcoming VoiceOver Extra article, actor Dana Dietrich, who also advises businesses on social media strategies, we should probably have her help us too, suggests asking yourself three questions before you send something out there.
Ask yourself these questions.
Ask
yourself. You self-reflect.
That is correct.
Reflect, then click.
You are correct, sir.
Okay.
All right. Especially before posting anything that might appear or link to your VoiceOver business page.
Okay.
Or any business page, for that matter. Mm-hmm. All right? So, question number one. Can we put, like, a big number one up there? Okay.
Sure.
Never mind. Okay. Thank you. Does this polarize me? Well, does what I say specifically match the concerns and beliefs of my clients? I guess you have to know what your clients are thinking. All right? Question number two. Thank you. Is what I'm about to share only relevant in a small window of time? In other words, weigh whether a particular issue plays into the bigger picture for your voiceover business or brand. If the topic will be forgotten soon, it certainly doesn't belong on your business page forever. All right? Now, it might be important to take things off every now and again.
Yeah.
You look at your history, you're going to find all sorts of crap in there.
I forget to do that all the time.
I perhaps we should do that. And this article is telling us that that's one of the things we should do.
Okay.
Number three. Thank you. How does this affect my brand perception? For instance, do you want to attach your work to your political beliefs or whatever else you might say? That's number three.
Okay.
You can take that one down there. Okay. I mean, I'm very careful about this. I mean, I lost a lot of friends with my political rantings back probably in 2004 and I mean, a little bit more in 2008, but 2008. I love my friends. They can think what they want. They don't have to hear what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly my clients don't need to do that. Unless, of course, I'm talking to a client and the client says, did you say what who-and-so did today?
Hey, if the client starts it.
And then you're like, yeah.
As long as it's a sidebar, you know.
That's
off
right.
Off the record.
Right.
You know, not on the public.
That's right. So, you know, but if you have a lot of clients, they're all going to think different things.
Sure.
So don't do it. So just be careful what you say on the internet.
Right.
Because once it's there, it's always there. Another upcoming VoiceOver Extra News article from British voiceover guy Guy Harris sums up perhaps the best path to success.
Cool.
Be nice.
Really?
Duh.
That's all there is to it.
That's right. So catch these articles and more at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success. So thanks to John Florian for posting that. And no thanks to our fabulous teleprompter, which is now driving me insane.
It just flipped 90 degrees.
Yeah, don't ask me how it did that.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Technology's awesome.
I love technology. Anyway,
yeah,
so.
Fun with it.
You have anything to report?
No, I just. Just been keeping up with the latest in technology, and really, there's nothing right now that's got me really, really excited, you know, about tech. Like, go out and buy this thing right now; it's going to change your life. But there's one product that I've been really big about for the last couple of years, and that's the Apollo. It's made by Universal Audio, and they, for all of you Windows users out there that have been kind of left out in the cold,
they're making a Windows version now.
They're making a Windows version
because
they were Thunderbolt only. For a long time, and Windows hasn't taken on the Thunderbolt technology yet. So they made a USB 3.0 version, so it gives you the same kind of connectivity and speed as Thunderbolt pretty much on USB. So if you've been feeling like you're missing out because you're on Windows and you've been wanting to try out this Universal Audio Apollo thing, you can now get one and for Windows flavor. So what makes it cool, in my opinion? If you do a lot of Source Connect Now, Source Connect, Ipdiddle, anything where it's real time, you're having to stream to another studio real time, What makes it awesome is you can now plug in all sorts of processing tools that you would normally maybe not be able to do if you were doing it in post, right? You can't stream it live.
Right.
So normally that meant a big channel strip or some fancy outboard piece of gear or even several pieces.
Right.
And those are kind of a pain because they're hard to have lots of different settings and presets. With the Apollo, you can load in your favorite vintage Neve channel strip and your favorite limiters.
If you can afford that stuff.
Yeah, you can get these things in software form. So you can get, you know, a $7,000 rack of gear for maybe $500 in plugins, you know. And it's really amazing. You can get the quality of the original gear without the maintenance costs, without replacing tubes. And you're going to be monitoring the sound of all that gear real time in your headphones with no latency. Also very difficult to do with Pro Tools or other platforms like that. So, again, this is something that's for a small percentage of you. Most of you aren't probably doing live studio recording at this point. But if you are delving into that world, this is something kind of cool to check out. And now, thanks to their Windows version, Windows people can play too. So that's pretty cool.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. All righty. Did we get any questions from our huge worldwide audience this week?
I could take a look.
Why don't we take a look, and then we can answer said questions.
Yeah.
Remember, you can, if you have a question on home studios, anything else that has to do with voiceover, maybe slightly related to voiceover, mm-hmm. send it to theguys@vobs.tv, and
that's
we'll
us.
Be happy to answer it here on the show, if you'll be happy to have us answer it on the show.
Well, let me find a couple good ones, and
okay.
then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back with the questions from the chat room and from the audience.
Okay, very good. All right. So I guess we're going to take a break
now? Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's
talk about Harlan.
Okay, well, here we go. Let's see if the teleprompter works this time.
All right. It's working.
$25 off when you buy the VO1A voiceover microphone and the VO1A PF pop filter together. Plus, get my favorite, the adjustable boom strap for free for a total of a $44.95 in savings. We even make it easy. So go over to VoiceOver Essentials, and we'll put the actual link there on the show notes. So if anybody's wondering, and we'll try and throw it here in the chat room too. Then clicking on any buy all three now link will put all three items in the shopping cart at once. Discount show when checking out. The sale ends this Wednesday at midnight Pacific time. Take a look at the page for all the details. So go over to voiceoveressentials.com and get that special link, which we'll try to highlight and put in the chat room. And then you guys can go over there and buy all three of those items.
Excellent, man.
Yeah, the ABS. I love the ABS. We actually have to use it here occasionally to keep from all of these boom mics we have from falling over because of all these incredibly heavy mics that we use, like...
TLM-103 is pretty
well.
Heavy.
The TLM-103.
Those ribbon mics are really.
I was going to say, if we threw a ribbon mic on this, it would end up in Dave's forehead, and we'd be in big trouble right now.
Exactly.
So, anyway, so go over to voiceoveressentials.com, and you can actually also go there by going to the link at the bottom of our page that you are currently watching the show on. Mm-hmm. So, head on over there. Thanks, Harlan.
Thank you, buddy.
For some reason, he's been with us all this time.
He sure has.
All right, we'll be right back after. This, so don't go.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
VoiceOver Body Shop, where you can learn everything from mic technique to how to market your voiceover business to acting your way out of a wet paper sack, which is my favorite, by the way.
You're listening to VOBS.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VOBS. And a lot of people are like, VOBS? What is that? That is BS about VO. And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
You're listening to VOBS.
Right. We're back here on VOBS, VoiceOver Body Shop, and we have our guest here a little early on. We're going to talk to him a little bit more in depth in a couple of minutes, but this is my tip of the week. I get a lot of questions from people talking about mic technique, and I figure why not have somebody who's got possibly one of the best voices in Hollywood demonstrate how to properly use a mic. Now, I'll go over how I do it, and then Dave can just totally make fun of me and say, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, Leonard. Anyway, when I'm usually talking to people about how they use their microphone, a lot of people tend to get really close to it because they think that that's how it's supposed to work. Studio condenser mics are very, very specific instruments, transducers. They're designed to hear like the human ear. So what you want to be able to do is address a studio condenser mic the way you would talk to somebody else, like I'm talking to Dave here. That help? No. Okay. The trick to using a mic like this, especially a high-quality Neumann TLM-103, which I use in my very studio, which is why it happens to be here in the first place, is you want to have it not at mouth level. You don't necessarily want to talk right into the diaphragm. So we have the set for Dave's height, not for mine. But anyway, the idea is you should be able to see your copy clearly. You should be able to use the microphone without knowing it's even there. I mean, there are instances, and you can talk about this, where there is certain proximity you want to use with the microphone. My general rule with mic technique is it should be about at eye level. Your copy should be under here, behind the mic, so you can see it. And then you should be about 5 to 7 inches away, or with Dave, because his hands are a little bigger than mine, maybe a little bit farther. And that way, it's like I'm having a conversation with you. You should be hearing me the way, you know, anytime we have met somewhere, and I've met almost all of you, if we were having a conversation, this is what it would probably sound like, as opposed to talking into it like this,
where you can go, Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, and we're going to get nothing but plosives, right?
Plosives and clipping.
All that sort of thing.
Not to mention all the spit in the microphone.
That sort of thing. Exactly. Yeah. So I've adopted this philosophy that you don't even need a pop screen. That pop screens are really for, not that you don't want to buy one because they're good to have if, for certain instances, especially the Harlan Hogan one. Wouldn't want to turn people off to not having one because it's good to have one, especially if, say, you're a musician or a singer. Because singers really, really work a microphone. They have to get right up to it. And those guards really are more spit guards than they are for preventing plosives. They are a tradition that people use, but I don't believe that they are actually functional for voiceover, except in certain instances. So generally, in your studio, it should be about at the bridge of your nose, copy under here, and talking 5 to 7 inches away. And that way, you don't even need to use a pop screen, because I can say Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers all day, and you're not going to get a plosive. So, your thoughts, Mr. Fenoy?
Wow, I'm going to go home and change my mic technique completely.
Shit.
No, I agree with what you said. But once you know where you should be on the microphone, it's kind of like the camera. If you're if you're an actor on camera, pay no attention to the camera.
Right.
Forget about the microphone. And at the same time, you have to be painfully aware of it for some things, because there are times that you want to get in there for the proximity effect and get a little something going on. But most of the time, as you say, 6-7 inches away, and you're just fine. Now, there are other tricks with the microphone. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be very, very loud, sometimes you just want to be a little bit off here, and which can also how you use the mic, and if you're setting up the sound of somebody coming from a long way away, hey, are you guys over there? Oh, there you are. I see you now. All kinds of little tricks you can do once you know the basics of the microphone.
Right. So what's your favorite thing to do with the mic that's other than just talking into it, which you do every day? Is there something that you use that perhaps really works well for you?
No, just a real good mic. Record at a decent level, not too hot. I'd rather increase the volume to -3 dB than try to bring it down to -3 dB.
Right.
So get good levels. You don't want them too low, but you don't want them too hot, and go for it.
Yeah. So what microphones do you use, and what's your audio?
Well, I have a collection. I have a TLM-103. I've got a TLM-170. I've got a U87. I've got a U67. I've got a Sennheiser 416. I have a Mojave. I travel with a little Apogee mic.
We love them.
And I've had a few other little mics that I've played around with and then sold or given away. But the Neumann and Sennheisers are my main mics. And when I travel, I have found that little Apogee is just a wonderful little mic.
Yeah. It actually is. It sounds an awful lot like a 416.
It does.
And there's been lots of examples of how well it works as, you know, in that particular situation. Say, like, if you're using a porta booth or...
Ha! You saw my setup.
I took a stab at it.
My Apogee, my Porta Booth Pro, yeah, and my iPad. And I need nothing else.
Nothing else. You don't even need clothes if you're alone.
Just a good cigar and a fine woman.
Does that improve your voiceover technique at all?
Well, I don't know about my technique, but it improves many aspects of life.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Now, what's your favorite mic out of all those? Now, you said you like the Sennheisers and you like why do you have all those different mics?
Well, unlike a lot of voice actors who, when I'm doing this kind of work, I like to use this kind of microphone. I just get a wild hair up my butt and go, I want to use a 416 for a while. I want to use a 103 for a while.
That's an interesting way to describe technique.
But I
totally get what you're talking about.
Yeah, I like all these mics a lot. And they do have, you know, slightly varying characteristics. I don't think my ears or most people's ears are that good that you're going to hear the difference.
The differences are a lot more subtle, I think,
than most people will hear.
Yeah.
There are people who can hear around the corner and maybe, whoa, that's a 416. But
they're not the majority.
Well, they're not the majority.
Recording engineers are a unique beasts,
yes,
right?
They are.
The littlest thing, they go, whoa, what did you do?
Yeah, and God bless them. God bless them.
Yeah.
But I just like a quality microphone that is accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And most of them are very accurate. If you get any microphone that's, say, over $200, $250 in a home setting, that's probably plenty. You know, what I like to say is if you have a really expensive microphone like this one, or, say, a $10,000 Telefunken, it's like a Ferrari, and a Ferrari has to have a nice garage.
Oh, yes. Not to mention a great road cruise down there.
Absolutely. Barry. Yes. Right. And a really good driver.
And a really good driver.
Right. Yeah, the driver.
I'm glad you mentioned Ferrari, because we can talk about Ferrari World. I was just in Abu Dhabi, I rode the fastest roller coaster in the world.
Whoa.
Dude, I can't wait to hear about that.
It's one of the other reasons we wanted to talk to you tonight. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But it's important to not overthink the mic. There's a lot of people out there who say, what's the best mic for voiceover? What should I be using? Does this thing help you read any better or perform any better?
As a matter of fact, it does. And also, you know, it scratches me behind the ear there. So no.
It really does.
It's kind of, I play tennis, and you ever watch a guy make a bad shot and he looks at the racket? It's never the racket. It's not the microphone. It's you. It's you.
Get the best mic that you can afford.
Yes.
Comfortably afford.
Yes.
Don't blow all your wad on that mic.
Is only one part of the sound chain.
Yeah.
So if you have a great mic and the rest of your sound chain is not so great, you're not going to really take advantage of the wonderful mic.
Or if your room is lousy.
It's all part of your sound chain.
Yeah. Right, absolutely. Yeah. And acoustics is a big, big part of it.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a very sensitive mic, it's going to hear you the entire room. If you're using a less sensitive microphone.
I'll tell you something I found about my U87.
Yeah.
It does not like a small room.
Yeah. No, it does not. That's why
it sounds very different in a small. It gets very tinny in a small room. And at one point, I had a small booth. It was a 4x4 booth, and I couldn't use it in there. I got a bigger booth. I'm in a 5x7 booth now, and it dances. It's happy.
Yeah, if you look at pictures of great voice actors like yourself working in a studio, say you're working on an animated film or something like that, they don't have it on a desk stand in front of you.
No.
It's mounted about like this.
And sometimes it's even further away than this.
Right.
And a little higher and angled down.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I've figured out. This is trial and error over the years. The bigger the room you have to work in, the more breathing room you have, you can get further off the mic. And it's still like this room. Not the quietest. We have a little bit of a noisy air conditioner, but we have a large high ceiling and a lot of space. So you can really let the mic breathe here.
Yeah.
When you're in a really small space, you got to get a little.
And the mic will sound better. It'll sound more natural. I have a very good booth, very quiet, not completely dead, but pretty dead.
Yeah.
And I actually have to work the mic just a little bit closer than we are here
to
get a real authentic sound.
Present.
Sound.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of technique to it, but if you stick to the basics, it will work. No matter what mic you have, it will do the job for you. It's going to hear you, and essentially the sound that you put out is your sound.
Yes.
It's, you know, the acoustics in everybody's house is different, or their closet, or wherever they're working. That's the sound you have, and the microphone's not going to make that any better. You could change microphones, but it's not going to change how you read anything or those sorts of things.
He's giving you gold here. Gold.
Yeah, I could use a little more in my pocket. But anyway.
But I got a couple questions.
We have questions.
Uh-oh.
We'll jump over here on me and we'll get these from Amy. First one's from Amy Fisher.
The real Amy Fisher.
How do you get in session direction from bleeding? Oh, how do you get? I think what she's trying to say is, how do you keep a session's direction from bleeding from the headphones into the recording?
Well, first of all, the director shouldn't be shut up to the client.
Yeah,
the client should not be talking while you're recording. You do a take, they give you instruction, they shut the hell up, you do another take. And then they give you more instructions, and hopefully it's only 3 or 4 takes, not 50 or 60 takes.
Right.
But
right.
That it's as simple as that.
And they sure shouldn't be punching like Linkin Park through your headphones while you're doing that session.
Hopefully your studio is just sophisticated enough so that you can turn down the return from the other end, the studio or the foam pad, so that you can have them at a much lower level. I think that's important because a lot of times they might blow your can.
Yeah.
Your
well,
cans
you know,
off.
But they're going to ask you, you know, is this loud enough? Say you're doing promos and you're reading to picture and sound.
Yeah.
So that sound is in your cans. Turn the cans down. Just turn it down enough so that you can hear what your cues are without it bleeding through your
and
phones.
Maybe
get some better phones.
Yeah, you might need to use, you may not have very well sealed headphones.
Yes.
If they're bleeding too much.
Right, or earbuds and stuff
yeah.
like
yeah.
that. And a lot of studios have gone to squawk boxes too. It's like, take two!
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be listening to yourself anyway on headphones.
If you can get away with not using headphones,
I prefer not to use headphones. I only use them when absolutely necessary.
I love
phone
Dave.
Patches.
He's a great guest.
Because I agree with
everything.
He drinks the Kool Aid. There's another quickie one here. This
hey,
one's from Christina Malizia, our friend.
Hey, Christina.
Hey.
George and Dan, she says, what do you recommend in terms of audition submission levels? I have been comparing auditions from various professionals, mono versus stereo, RMS levels, peak normalization, da-da-da-da. And I was wondering if you guys have standardized recommendations for how loud your VO auditions should go out.
There
really should be, shouldn't there?
Well, we have.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we've done at World Voices Organization is we've set these standards, and they're clearly written out on our website. And for those of you who are members of WOVO, we're getting ready to launch our tech certification page. So, so George and I and Uncle Roy and Cliff Zellman and a few others, people know what they're talking about.
Hi, Cliff.
Yeah.
Hey, Roy.
We're going to be going over people's submissions and giving them studio certification based on those standards, which are on our webpage there. So,
should we give her an answer, though?
I have an answer for her. One, I normalize everything to -3 dB.
Peak level, yeah.
Peak level. Mm-hmm. And that keeps everything fairly natural.
Right. And if you record it properly when you hit -3,
yes.
it shouldn't change a whole lot.
It shouldn't, I like to see it go up just a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Those are used for minor little corrections, not for major expansion.
For RMS levels, I don't think we've established a true standard yet, like saying every audition should be -20 or something like that.
Right.
The audiobook world has established some kind of a standard. They go between -18 and -23. So I've sort of adapted to that standard. If it lands in that -20 range for average level, I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, and that's easy to attain. So.
Yeah, I don't look at the meter that closely.
Yeah.
If it sounds right and the meter, if it looks right, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. Hey, Karen has a question.
Karen,
I do. To piggyback on Christina's question, can you hear me?
Yes.
I guess so.
There's a mic right above you.
There's a mic right above you. So, I'll go right here.
Okay.
It's a directional mic. So.
Right.
Piggybacking on Christina's question, do you do any processing or do you recommend doing any processing on your auditions?
Minimal. If you record it raw and your levels are good and it's mono, by the way, Christina, stereo, sometimes you send something in stereo and it might get round filed before they even hit play on it. So that's an important point. So what was the rest of that question?
Make sure you give them what they want. If they do want stereo,
it's odd. If you have a client that doesn't know what they're talking about and they and they're like, we want these files
in stereo because stereo sounds better.
We want it to come out both ears.
Yeah, that's it. That's
if you don't do it in stereo.
If you don't do it in stereo, it's only going to come out one ear.
One ear.
We don't like the one. Of course, we got a guy over here. He's deaf in this other ear.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Now processing, that's more of a witch's brew. Maybe that's a good way to describe it, because everybody has their own little recipe for doing processing to perhaps enhance their voice just a little bit, which isn't really really shouldn't be the important thing with processing. Processing should be for minor room corrections and perhaps adjusting for just a tad of sibilance.
Well, sometimes there's a certain style, a certain sound that you're going for that fits a particular.
Like a 50s science film or something.
Well, it could
like
be
that.
A 50s science film.
Right.
It might be promos. It might be movie trailers or something. So I don't think there's anything wrong with knowing what processing to use to get certain sounds. But I agree with you. Again, best just clean, dry, good levels in mono, send it out.
The processing should be unnoticed.
Unnoticed, yes. Unnoticed.
It's like
if you notice it, it's wrong.
It's wrong. Yeah. It's like good movie effects.
Yes.
If you see like a historical film and there's this scene of, you know, the ocean and the ships, nowadays the CGI is so good, you just forget that it's not real. You
yeah,
know?
If you see a finger pushing the boats, that's
there's a
real
string pulling the boats. You never want to see that.
That's a movie from the 30s.
There you go. Right. That's the new rule of processing. You should never see the string.
Never see the string. Let's write that one down. That goes in my little book of Proverbs. All righty. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more with Dave in just a couple of minutes and find out about this fascinating trip that seemed you went to the lake.
Forever. I was gone
you
forever.
You were gone for a long time. We want to talk about that and talk about your voiceover career. And if you have questions for Dave about Dave, put them in the chat room. We'll get them on there. Anyway, we'll be right
briefs.
Back.
Yeah, briefs.
Briefs. Yes. Okay. We'll be right back here on Voiceover Body Shop. So don't you go away. We'll be right back.
I got a rehearsal app.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
A good old-fashioned actor.
Hey, Paul. I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
Okay, so live read ad for rehearsal app. We love doing the embedded ads because you guys tend to watch them. Rehearsal app is the app for actors to help you learn your lines. You get off book, which is really important when you're learning lines, so that you can better... You need to really get off book. You can't be reading your copy. You can't be reading it. Shut up, quiet on set. You can't be you can't learn your script if you're still glued to the book. Now, how does this apply to voice actors? A lot of voice actors don't need to memorize script, and you see so many a day, you're not going to memorize them. But many of you do screen acting as well, so being able to learn your script is really, really important. Another thing that's cool about a rehearsal app is you can also use it for auditioning. So you can load your scripts in, get the script down, record it, and then deliver the files in MP3 form directly out of the app. So it's kind of a two-for-one. And he's also got a pro version. Our buddy David H. Lawrence, the 17th, that developed the app. He's got a pro version at rehearsal.pro. And you can back the Indiegogo campaign and get it for 50% off. If you get in early. So check out rehearsal.pro. I haven't seen it yet. As soon as we get a demo of it, we'll share it right here on the show. You can see what else can be done with the rehearsal app. Anyway, it's rehearsal app. We got a little spot here from our friends at Edge Studio, and we'll be right back after
the home
that.
Studio master.
Home Studio Master. Home Studio Master's up next. Don't go away, and then we'll be back with Dave Fennoy. See you in a second.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
VoiceOver Body Shop, where you can learn everything from mic technique to how to market your voiceover business to acting your way out of a wet paper sack, which is my favorite, by the way.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop with our good friend Dave Fennoy. Now, you've been on the show a couple of times.
You guys keep, you never learn your lesson and keep inviting me back.
Our previous incarnation,
yes. But it's great to have you live in studio.
Here. Well, thank you. Glad to be back.
You know, and thank you so much for the helpful demonstration on our tip of the week for mic technique. But you've been away. You looks like you've done the entire Horn of Africa.
It was the Dave Fennoy Whirlwind Tour.
Tell us about it. You were in Bahrain.
In Bahrain. I went to two IGN conferences on either end of the trip, and to the Maldives for the World Series of Video Game Championships.
In the Maldives.
And you know, I had that because Wikipedia told me it was dives, and right. I got there and said, no, it's Deeves. The Maldives, Maldives, who cares? They're very friendly, very friendly people.
Yeah,
and you've seen the pictures of the Maldives, you know, yeah. And it's always a beachfront
gorgeous place.
And little huts out in the water.
Right.
It's true. It's true.
Cool. My favorite types of beaches. Yeah.
But I went for, it's like a Comic-Con for IGN Bahrain. And what you find out is in the Middle East, this is my second trip over there. You find out that they're into the same stuff we're into. Our kids and their kids are all the cosplaying together and playing the same games. I was quite surprised to know they knew the characters I played in various video games, but they're into it. And actually, it makes me feel good about video games because usually the only time we hear about them in the media is when some kid shoots another kid. Ah, it's so damn violent video game.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really feel like because it is the biggest industry in entertainment, it's helping to bring the world together through being interested in the same things.
Right. And, of course, people interacting with each other.
Absolutely. And nowadays you can react with anybody anywhere when you're playing video games. Yeah.
If they speak the same language.
You don't even have to speak the same language. As a matter of fact, English is the language of the world. Better or worse, most people who have any kind of education around the world speak some English.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit of some of the highlights of your trip.
Well, let's see. I got to hang out with Booker T, the wrestler.
Ooh,
that was kind of fun. And my buddy Adam Harrington went with me because we're in so many games together. Yeah. We usually are foes, but we're in Borderlands together. We play a couple.
He'll actually be with us next week.
Oh, so there you
he'll
go.
He'll refute everything you say.
Oh, no, no. He's good pal, good pal. Yeah. So I got to see the beautiful mosque in the Grand Mosque in Bahrain and learned a little bit about the culture. And the food was fabulous. I ate like a pig and lost weight because there's nothing in the food but food. Then off to the Maldives for the World Series of Video Games. And I was a celebrity host. They were playing four games, FIFA football, as opposed to FIFA, the organization that is now in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Hearthstone. Age of Empires, and World of StarCraft, which I play a part in. And there were kids, and I mean kids because most of them were between 16 and 22, who came from across the world, Vietnam, China, United States, Portugal, Brazil, Tunisia. There were more than a dozen countries represented playing for a purse with each game. The winner took home $20,000.
Whoa. Wow.
And that's, after that, a beautiful stay on the islands. I
hung out on the beach.
Oh,
read a
boy,
book.
Did I hang out. Well, I didn't read a book, but I did hang out on the beach.
Oh, okay, cool.
Went to Abu Dhabi, which reminded me a lot of L.A. It's spread out. It's a car culture. As a matter of fact, it's so car culture, they have Ferrari World there.
Ferrari World.
Like Ferrari
a theme
World.
Park?
It's
or
a theme park built around Ferraris. And there's Ferraris and classic Ferraris all around the place. And I got to ride the fastest roller coaster in the world. It was wonderful. Then we went across the street and we drag raced Camaros. And I won. Now, Adam is going to come here and say
this isn't
he
a
won.
Video game. This is real. You
no,
really
this,
got
no
to
this is
race
these
the
are real cars.
Yeah.
We had the you know the little stocking cap then the helmet and we get in and you know the
oh,
orange
you had to wear
lights
fire retardant
yeah the fire retardant and the orange lights and boom boom gets down to the green step on the gas. oh man, but I won. I want you to remind Adam of that I won.
Oh, you were racing Adam. Oh, okay.
Well, it was the best time. I had the best time. He managed to match that, but I won.
Okay.
That's the way I would look at it.
Yes, of course.
Absolutely. All right. So it sounds like you had a great, and you were there for a while. How long was
that? The trip was 3 weeks.
Jeez, that's a long time to be away. And then when you come back and you wake up in your own room and you go, the heck am I? Especially you've been traveling a lot.
Came back and my wife left me. Kidding.
But you got your truck back.
I got my truck back. And the dog.
And the dog. All right. Well, that's good to know. You do a lot of video game work.
I do.
Now, you were saying some of the games that you're on, and how long have you been doing that, and how did you get into doing that along with all the other stuff?
I've been a generalist in my career. I do some of everything, and somewhere in the 90s, I started doing some video games, some Lucasfilm games. I played Lando Calrissian. I was an Ultimate Spider-Man, and I kind of took it as, oh, this is just another form of animation. And the video game industry was kind of small at the time and growing. But in the last 5 years, it has grown by like gangbusters. Yep. It is the biggest money-making entertainment business in the entertainment business. There's never been a movie that made $1 billion in a day. We have had several games that did.
Wow. Very interesting.
And I've just been fortunate that as the years went by, I did more games and more games and more games. My roster is over 150 games now. I've had the great fortune of being in some of the best-known games. The Walking Dead game really put me and Telltale Games on the map. Arkham Knights, I play Lucius Fox. That's the Morgan Freeman role from the movie. StarCraft, Warcraft, Dota 2, which is one of the biggest league-playing games. They're giving away millions of dollars to teams that play, and I've got six characters there. Just a lot of games, yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. We have a demo reel of all your stuff. So can we roll that so we can get a look at what the kind of work that Dave does?
Let's take a look.
Slobbertooth. Here we go.
I ate the microphone. Sorry.
That's not a very good answer, is it? Come on. Just tell me what I want to know. It will make things a lot less painful for you. In theory.
I've got a little girl I'm trying to protect in here, too. You want to get violent, you old fuck? Well, come on! You better have a plan to kill me, though, because it's me before anyone else in here!
But I will give my all for the Horde.
Get out of my way.
It's so good, isn't it? Gets even better. Wait. I can see it in your eyes. Seen into the spirit world. The Book of Revelations is gonna look like Mother Goose. Heaven and hell are gonna go straight for each other's throats.
At once! Swiftly now! The freezing flame!
No path, but through.
Yes!
Hell yeah! Love that smell!
Foreseen is forearmed!
First it was the crack epidemic. Now, just as that's beginning to subside, an even worse plague is sweeping through New York. It's a plague that destroys mostly those on the margins.
Challenge me? You have to earn that privilege. Survive my titans, and you may get your chance.
Initiating fucking funky.
Let's get freaky.
Feeling super friendly.
Then you got your pure breeds. They've been around since the dawn of things. Since the night grew fangs. And I'd not last 5 seconds in that fight.
Close your eyes and be thankful you never have to see me as one of them. You can do it. I know you can.
I can bite in. Oh, microphone.
It's over!
Wow. That's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And it's amazing how it has evolved in the last 10, 15 years.
Oh, everything has gotten better.
Yeah, the animation is great.
You know, people think of gamers, I think the stereotype is about a 15-year-old pudgy white kid. But it's a 35-year-old. It's 50% women just about now.
Is really? It really?
Most gamers have been playing for about 14 years. It is not only the biggest, but it's also the fastest growing entertainment business in the world. And it really is a revolution in entertainment when you think about it. One of the things that happens with video games that's never happened in the world before is you're telling a story, and now you get to make decisions about what happens to different characters. That has never happened in the history of entertainment
until now. Can't do that with movies.
Can't do that with movies. Can't do it with TV. You can do it with video games. And with the reality glasses that are coming now, who knows where we're going to go with video
games. I can't wait for that augmented reality.
Oh,
because there's VR
and
there's AR.
Yes.
AR is where they project. Well, it looks like the room is part of the game.
Yeah.
Oh. And it's all within the room. It's
they are doing amazing things. Things that cannot be done with movies, cannot be done with television. And once again, our grandkids are going to be experiencing entertainment in a way we never could have imagined.
Right. Gee, I wonder if they can be able to get into your brain and actually experience a sword going through your liver. That would be totally amazing.
That's not that far-fetched. One of the problems they're having with virtual reality is once you put those glasses on and those headphones on, say you're doing a roller coaster thing, even though you may be sitting still, your brain thinks that you're doing that, and you can get dizzy and sick.
Yeah.
Wow.
People do.
They better put the warning label on it.
They're working on a video game based on paranormal. And one of the biggest problems is how scary do you make it? Because it's scarier in virtual reality than in a movie theater where, you know, somebody's there and you can...
Right.
You can look away. You can just like, oh, that was...
You get popcorn while you're...
Well, I mean, I wanted to ask you, how much of that in that reel... You don't have to come up with an exact number, but was any of that recorded in your own booth, or was that
a lot of it was recorded
in
my own booth? The majority, I would have to say, was recorded at outside studios, but several of those were recorded in my booth.
And those are directed sessions.
Those are directed sessions.
Are they ever ensemble?
Very rarely. Yeah. I have done two ensemble video game recordings in my life. One was for Blizzard. We were doing Walla for World of Warcraft, and we had like 30 actors at LA Studios. And
so WoW is when you have just a room full of actors.
Yeah, a room full of the best video game voice actors in the world. If a bomb had gone off in there, well...
And
there have been a lot of recasting.
Walla's kind of improv.
That's the you know, the group sounds, the mumbles underneath. Yeah, yeah. The, you know, the,
yeah, yeah.
And another one. There's a guy out in Woodland Hills that has started recording two or three people at a time for some games when he can get clients to agree to it. Everybody wants to do it one person at a time. The nature of post-production pretty much dictates that.
Yeah. Plus with video games, you want to isolate the voice with the character.
And yes.
If you have lines stepping on each other, it's a mess. Yeah.
Yeah. So somebody could make an entire career just simply off of video games.
Well, you could.
You wouldn't recommend it, though.
No, I'm not saying I wouldn't recommend it. Well, the plus is I really enjoy what I do. I'm not a video game player per se, but I really enjoy... working on video games. The acting style is, although animated, it is different from animation. You tend to go for the drama as opposed to the comedy. That's not to say there isn't comedy, but, you know, speaking in great generalities, we lean towards drama. But one of the issues we have now with the union, video games, despite the fact that they make more money than anything else in entertainment, have refused to negotiate with voice actors for better working conditions and better pay. It is very vocally stressful. Sometimes actors are asked to spend 4 or 5 hours screaming and hollering.
Dying.
Early in my career, I had a five-hour session. I was a pod racer, had to shout the whole thing. It was all in Huttese, and then Huttese with a Jamaican accent, and then Huttese with a homeboy accent. And I couldn't speak for the next week. And I lost some clients, one of whom I was going to do a sport. I was going to be the booth announcer on a sports show. That guy has never come back to hire me. I had to cancel on him. He's never come back to hire me. And residuals, some form of residuals. We're not saying that if a game doesn't do well, that you got to pay us again. But if you've made $1 billion in a day, just like the actors in television shows and movies and commercials should be compensated.
Yeah, and the thing about these new games, it's not just the technology that's made them better.
No.
It's the voice acting. The voice acting in old video games was hilariously bad.
Go grab the secretary.
Is your dad retired? We need an old guy.
And that's exactly what has happened. As the audience has gotten older, once again, the audience is mid-30s now. As the audience has gotten older, they've gotten more sophisticated. They want a better product, and a better product means you need better actors.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they're providing it. And if you want professionalism, you have to pay professionals.
Thank you.
A living wage. At least a living wage.
And the working conditions clearly is a big issue. As you were saying, you burn out your voice being, I will kill you. Could you say it a little louder? You know, it's gonna wear on your vocal cords. No question about it. Talk a little bit about Hulu. Now, I just bought a Roku TV.
Yeah. Well, you know, Hulu and I have parted ways.
I know. I was aware of that. But you were the Hulu
guy. But I will always be the Hulu guy.
Take it, you know.
Once
if you
the
got
Hulu
it,
guy,
keep it
always
with
the Hulu
you.
Guy.
Once the Hulu
right.
guy.
Yeah.
The OG Hulu guy.
Yeah. What was it like to ride something like that?
Well, you know, that's one of those gifts from above that you don't necessarily expect in a career, but when they come, and I didn't even recognize the gift when it came. I was at a party. You know, ordinarily you audition for somebody sort of through your agent. I was at a party, and a guy, a woman who was having the party, she's kind of cute, and he wanted to date her, but she wasn't interested, so he talked to me. And he says, so who are you? What do you do? I said, well, my name's Dave Fennoy, and I do voiceover. He said, well, you know, there's this new thing called Hulu. They're about to bust out, and they're looking for a voice. Give me your email address, and I'll send you some scripts. The next week, I was the Hulu guy. Now, that meant just a little bit of money because they were just getting started. But as the years went by, and I was a Hulu guy for their first 7 years, as the years went by and they had more success, I had more success. So it was a dream job. And funny thing, I did it all from home. For the first year and a half, I never met my clients. Everything was done via email. And then I showed up at the Christmas party, and boy, were they surprised.
it never is with voice actors. But there's an important story that you just said, because you had your elevator speech.
Yeah.
When someone says, what do you do?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm Dave Fennoy, and I'm a voice actor.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, sometimes I get freaked out by it. I go, it's kind of hard to explain. But.
Well, you know what? It's not as hard to explain anymore as it once was.
True.
I think most people have a real understanding of what voice acting is. They might not know, you know, all the things that we voice actors do, but they know what it is, and they know you can get rich doing it, and it's the easy way to make money.
Yeah, really. Interesting.
Because you're just talking, after all.
I know. God. But it's important to be proud of what you do and just be ready to say, I'm a voice actor. But don't say, I'm a voice actor.
That's the voice actor that doesn't get hired.
That's right. Don't do it that way.
Don't do it that way.
Met them at parties.
Yeah. Hi, how are you? I'm a voice actor. Why don't you step over here, young lady? Let me whisper in your ear.
Well, how often that's happened at NAB.
Yeah, really.
Anyway, well, we've got a lot of questions from our fantastic chat room audience.
Okay.
And but first, we've got to talk about Source Connect. Since you grabbed the ad for Rehearsal App,
mm-hmm.
I get to do Source Connect this week.
You got it.
All right. Source Connect. It uses an iLock, a USB key, to get the really good one. But Source Connect now, you don't need an iLock. They have a lot of different things that you can use to communicate directly to another studio. Important stuff to have. They've been doing it longer than anybody else as an alternative to ISDN. We all know it's not going to last forever. They're going to start ripping out the copper, and you need to have a good alternative. So do the studios. They should be starting to use Source Connect, or at least have the opportunity to offer that sort of thing. But it is now, you'll now start to find it in most commercial broadcast studios. Source Connect now, mostly smaller production studios, and, of course, you can have it in your home studio. Very easy to use. It just uses the Opus codec in Google Chrome, and you send them a link, they sign in. It's amazing. And it sounds good. It sounds just as good as ISDN, which is one of the things that I find fascinating about it, that why won't they move on to it? Well, a lot of them are starting to do it. So therefore, now is the time to really start looking at Source Connect and making it part of your toolbox. Your dad have a toolbox?
He did.
Yeah. It's important to have these things in your toolbox, things that you can adjust to, and Source Connect is one of those things. Now, Source Connect works only with Source Connect itself. You have to have the iLock. Source Connect now works with Source Connect now, for now. And Source Connect is a standalone app with an effects plugin. Source Connect now only works in Google Chrome, as I said. Source Connect is sample locked. It will never drift out of sync or change bitrate or quality. Very important. That's what these guys complain about. It doesn't work. It works great because the guys over at Source Elements have done a great job at developing this program for, what, like the last 10 years, George?
Almost 10 years, yeah.
It's unbelievable. And now it's easy to get. It's not really expensive. Source Connect now is free for now, as I recall.
It's going to be free for forever.
Yeah. Forever.
That's what they say.
Wow. How do they make money? The old-fashioned way.
They make it up in quantity.
In quantity, that's right. Like the change bank.
All right.
Anyway, Source Connect requires a little bit of network configuration, but it's not that hard. Source Connect now does not. So Source Elements, they've got Source Connect. It's a great way if you want to be able to communicate and record remotely with other studios, because that's how it's happening these days, guys. Source Connect is the way to do it. Anyway, we'll be right back with Dave Fennoy and questions that you've submitted right here on VoiceOver Body Shop, so do not go away.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
You're listening to VOBS.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on VoiceOverBodyShop.com.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Dave Fennoy is our guest. This is great. I'm really enjoying this. This is a lot of fun learning about, you know, your career and that you're doing all the cool stuff that everybody should be doing, and you've done it all right. But we have a lot of great questions here from our chat room.
Okay,
some really fabulous people you've never heard of before.
Yeah.
Jay Sawyer asks,
"Hey Jay, how you doing there in Atlanta?
What's the best thing that you've ever done that was also a huge challenge?
Well, I'm going to say playing Lee Everett in the Walking Dead game. One, because it gave me so many gifts. And the challenge was, it was five episodes of this game. Usually if you have 300 lines, that's a lot of lines in a video game. This was five episodes. I had 1,200 lines per episode at least, based on the permutations of what I could say and where that would take you, which would lead to something else. So that was a big challenge, but very rewarding in the long run.
Cool. Trey Mosley, as a man of color, do you see more diversity now in voiceover than when you first started? And also, how were your 3 weeks in UA? Well, we already know about that one, so we talked about that for 20 minutes. But is that
It's a double-edged sword. Unfortunately, in our country, racism is still a factor. It's not as big a factor on people's lives as it may have once been. And it's kind of a double-edged sword with me. On one hand, I go in with the knowledge sometimes that I'm not going to be considered, perhaps, because I'm black. On the other hand, if 500 people are auditioning for that job, I can't always just think that's why I didn't book it or why I booked it. If I didn't book that job, what do the other, 498 white guy, Spanish guys, Asian guys, other black guys, what's their excuse? Sometimes it works for you, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it's not a factor.
Yeah, and then sometimes having a mustache has absolutely nothing, doesn't help.
Well,
and sometimes it does.
You get to taste your soup again.
That's true. And various other things. All right.
Ooh, ba-dum-ba. Wow. Yeah,
you knew that baby. One was coming up.
Flavor saver.
Yeah.
Okay.
All righty. Well, and the thing is, so in other words, you just work on being the best you can be.
Well, I do work on being the best I can be. I've always let my agents know, look, I have no problem doing the ethnic work, but I want to do general market work as well. I've always insisted on that, and they've always complied. So I get to audition across the board.
All right. J.S. Gilbert. Yes, we know you're watching, J.S. How did Dave...
What's up, J.S.?
Hey. There's a great story about me and J.S. in San Francisco. It has to do with video games, but we'll save it for when he's on.
Well, it's the gay capital of America, sir.
I had nothing to
video
do with
games?
That.
Okay.
Actually,
just checking.
Had to do with Vietnamese food.
Not that
there's anything wrong with it. How did Dave get the gig with New Kids on the Block way back when? Was that a turning point, and did it lead to anything else directly?
Oh, my goodness.
Or indirectly?
Well, it's funny because I was a disc jockey before I started doing voiceover in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I hated New Kids on the Block. Yeah, they just put this boy band together and stuck them out there. And so one of my very first animation gigs was playing Dick Scott, the manager, in New Kids on the Block cartoon. So I turned that hate around to love and love them.
Because the check cleared.
Because the check's cleared, baby. But I got it the old-fashioned way. I auditioned.
Very cool. All right. Amy Fisher, again, with another question. The real Amy Fisher, by the way. I recently saw Dave's post about the conflict that might become a strike between video games and the union. Do you think that his talent, clout, and fans will protect him from losing work if a strike does happen? I don't exactly see how.
Well, if the strike does happen, I'm clearly going to lose work because I clearly will not cross the picket lines. If in fact we strike, we're hoping that we don't have to strike. Nobody wants to strike. What we want to have happen is the game producers to negotiate with us fairly and not just insult us. Right now we're getting things like, well, if you're late, we want to fine you $2,500.
Yeah, that was
the session wasn't going to pay me $2,500. Mm-hmm. If you look at your phone, we're going to fine you $2,500. Well, I understand that there are people out there, because this is a culture we're in now, that in between takes might look at their phone or something. But and I think there's nothing wrong with telling an actor who is a little too busy with his phone to, look, can you pay attention to what we're doing here? Do we need to take the phone in? But
yeah, what's this passive aggressive? We're going to just not going to say anything. Yeah. We're just going to find you.
But this, I have seen this happen. I was on the promo committee years ago with the great Don LaFontaine, and the first thing they said to us, this is when promos were $215 plus 10, it's $215 with 10% to your agent. They said, well, you know, you guys really aren't worth it. We should be only be paying you $25 a spot, and we don't really need you. That was their opening. Now we ended up getting a raise, but that, unfortunately, is part of how negotiations work.
Mm-hmm. So do you think there'll be a strike? Or
you know what? I'm not that prescient. I hope not. I hope we can come to some equitable agreement.
All right. Well, we'll see. Bob Glavin asks, other than your animation class, which animation class or classes do you recommend?
Well, I don't do an animation class.
Well, then you can recommend anybody you want.
I do specifically now I have voiceover for video games,
uh-huh.
voice acting for video games. There are a lot of good animation teachers out there. I'm a little hesitant to name a couple because I will miss some that are very good. But they're out there and just a little bit of research. I don't want to, because I'm going to forget some names and then they'll be mad at me.
Don't
okay.
want to leave anybody out.
Don't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah.
Good idea. Yeah. But there are people that teach animation and character voices, and I know there's a lot here in Hollywood, and there are probably a lot.
There's some very good ones. What I would do, whenever you're trying to find any kind of voiceover coach or teacher.
Voiceover resource guide.
Mm-hmm. But once you find the names and the advertisements, talk to them. How long have they been doing this? What are their credits? Who else have they coached? Get references from other people on their webpage. Do they have people who say things like, oh, wow, you know, I learned this and I booked that? And because, unfortunately, another thing that happens now, people be in this game for 2 or 3 years, have a few jobs, and they're not making the money they thought they would, and all, they hang up a shingle. I have a shingle out, too, and I really do the classes more than the individual lessons because I have to cancel so often because I'm working. Much easier to travel to Atlanta or Dallas or Houston or San Francisco or Vegas or someplace and teach a weekend workshop and come back and be able to work all week long. So just make sure you do your due diligence.
Bounce it off your peers.
Yeah. Bounce it off your peers. That's one of the things I love about the internet now. There are so many ways to get to so many people to get their opinions and find out the good and the bad and the ugly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Excellent. Now, but you do teach, and you like teaching.
Oh, I love teaching.
Teaching's great.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
my mother chuckles at me. She always said, you should be a teacher. Oh, there'd be no teaching. Well, there'd be a teacher. Now I'm a teacher.
Anyway, all right, Amy Fisher asks again. Amy asks a lot of questions.
Yeah.
That's why we love her.
That's right, because she needs the answers, and we all need the answers. Game producers, including Wasteland 2, are crowdsourcing for funding and using marketplace websites to cast. What think you?
Well, the marketplace website, I assume you're talking about the pay-to-play sites.
Yeah, we won't mention any names.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention any of their names. It's a feature of the business now. It's not my favorite feature. They drive down the prices. Typically, the people there aren't the people who are union people. I tend to have one of those accounts just to kind of monitor what's going on. The crowdsourcing for funds to make a game, I think that's also a feature of business now. There have been some products I've supported through crowdsourcing. There's some games that I am a part of that I'm hoping people will give funds to. One of the things that's happening now, you have the big game producers and you have people who are the independent game producers, like an independent filmmaker. They don't have the big money behind them, so they crowdsource. They might make deals with a voice actor like me. Look, we'll give you a piece of the action if you can, you know, forego being paid that double and triple scale that you're making now. And it's something that I have no problem doing because I feel like if they're successful, I get a piece of the pie. If not, I gambled with them, and we all put in our good effort. And so I say support the crowdsourcing of the project you're interested in, project you like.
Like as with anything. Devox, please speak in depth to better understand both sides of the issue, residuals, and a possible compromise.
Both sides of the issue. I think I pretty much stated the actor side. The producer side is we're making a lot of money and we don't want to share any. We don't want to share it.
Good negotiating there.
No, it's my toy.
Yeah, but they invited you over to play.
Well, yeah. Okay.
All right, we'll work it from there. All righty. Adam Harrington's going to be on next week. We'll finish
My buddy
with
Adam.
This. What should we ask Adam?
Hey, now. Well, I know you're going to ask him about Bahrain and Abu Dhabi. Check and see if his phone screen is cracked.
And you're not going to tell us why.
No.
Okay. That would be an interesting story. Make a note of that. Floor manager, write that one down.
Right. Screen, phone. Got it.
And does he have any tales of woe?
That's right. I'm sure you guys like share a room, and you just guy we were like.
Well, you know, he lives in San Francisco. Yeah. Man, I might be telling tales out of school here, but he lives up in San Francisco, but he's trying to make the move down here. So occasionally he is a house guest.
Okay. All righty. Well, Dave, this was just fantastic.
Dan, I so enjoyed it. Thank you so much for inviting me into the studio. The last couple of times we did this, I did it from home, but there's nothing like being there.
There's no question about it. And it's great meeting you again. We met several years ago, I think, at Voice.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's one of those, oh, hi, how are you? Oh, nice to meet you. Yeah. Okay. So this is good.
Good. Well, we're glad to have you. And, of course, we'll have you on again.
Well, thank you.
One of these days. Dave Fenoy. All right. Well, I think we got one more spot left from our friends at VoiceOver Extra. And then George and I will wrap things up into a nice tight little ball and say goodnight. So stay tuned.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by himself.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
You're listening to VOBS.
All right, we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop, or VO.
BS.
Yes. There was no BS in that last 40 minutes.
Oh, it's fantastic. No.
Dave's a guy who knows what he's talking about. That was great having him on here. Next week, as we mentioned, we have Adam Harrington coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Should be interesting, so get your questions ready for him. I already have a few listed down. November 9th, Maxine Dunn.
Very cool. We've never had her.
We've
on.
Never had
never
her
on
the
to
show.
Talk to her before.
Beautiful lady.
Met her at VoiceOver 2012.
Several times.
Yeah.
And she'll be on. So, if there are any people that you'd like to see on our show, like if you want to have Dave on in 2 weeks or something again, because he's great. Mention that, but you know, give us some ideas of some people you'd like to see on the show, and you know, I know Maxine's going to talk a little bit about marketing.
Oh yeah,
which will be, you know, she's a marketing person, and you know, and of course we want to have a few more roundtables, maybe about you know, have we had an animation roundtable? We've done animation, we did books.
We haven't done any roundtables so far with VOBS though.
Yes, we did.
Oh, we did one.
We did a fan roundtable.
But we're going to do some of the topics that you guys want to hear about. So
yeah, so throw
email
us some
them
topic. In. Yeah, the guys at VOBS.TV.
Send it into there, and we'll take these into account. We'd love to get your input because this is a very interactive show.
That's right.
That's why we do it live.
Very interactive. That's why it's successful, because you're part of it.
That's right.
All right. And speaking of being part of it, thanks to our donors of the week, like Eric Aragone.
That's right.
Perhaps we should just like give him a lower third every week.
I know.
Eric Aragone.
The Eric Aragone.
You're a great guy. We
Patty Gibbons. Thank you.
George A. Whitten.
That's my dad.
Oh.
Cool.
Thanks,
guys. Amanda
guy.
Fellows.
Brian Page. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
It helps us with the production of this show. See, now it looks like a television show. Before it was, you know, in my fourth bedroom in Buffalo and George on his back porch. I know. It was a high-tech studio.
Wait till we start overlaying the Tyrannosaurus Rex behind us on the blue screen. That's going to be a blast.
Or the Eiffel Tower. Or the Louvre.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Or the Western Wall or something like that. It would be very, much more interesting.
Somebody asked me about that. Why is there a blue sheet behind you? I'm like, well, we got some ideas for that.
Next week.
We're ramping up for it. Every week we leap a new technical hurdle.
That's right.
So
this week you get to be actually part of the show, which is actually
awesome.
Kind of cool. Anyway, if you'd like to donate to the show to help us pay for this immense amount of stuff in here, there is a donate link right above our heads. If you look above the, you know, on the web page, it says.
I think we moved it.
Where is it now?
I think it's down right below us now.
Oh, there it is. Oh, I was wondering.
There it is. Yeah.
Okay, that would make a lot more sense. All right. So anyway, if you click on that, it takes you right to PayPal, and that will help us do what we need to do to make all of this happen. The show logs. Jack DeGoli is still sitting out there in the desert, transcribing every word we've said.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, it's really amazing resource.
Is that right above where it says show?
That is above.
That's right up there.
Here somewhere.
Okay, good. Click on that. It will give you all the information you need about what went on in this show, and it'll probably give you an idea of, well, I don't want to watch all that crap that Dan was saying about this.
I just want to hear right to Dave.
Right to Dave.
Yeah, now you know how to go.
Now you know how to go and essentially some of the stuff that he said in that process. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jack. We appreciate that.
We have the podcast version of the show. This is a long show.
Long show.
We know. And not everybody's going to be able to sit and watch the whole show. So the podcast version is audio only. And you can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, and right on our website. There's a podcasting link. But if you have a podcatcher app on your phone, iPhone, Android, right. whatever you use, just type in VOBS. You'll find it on there.
Look, if you're in a high-speed chase and you've got four helicopters chasing you down the 405 to the 118 to the 210 and back to Altadena.
Don't watch it on YouTube at that point.
Don't watch it on YouTube, but you can listen to the podcast. He lost this guy, too. Why is this so fascinating?
This is legitimately a form of entertainment in Los Angeles.
It was amazing. And then to actually look out the back window and see the helicopters going by on the 405.
Freaky, dude.
That was pretty weird. And they lost this guy. There's helicopters watching it, and they lost this guy.
It's amazing. I know.
He's like, I'm going to where the trees are and then go to my girlfriend's house and take her car. You had to see it to believe it.
Yeah, but we also do the show live. A lot of you don't watch it live. It doesn't fit your schedule. But
right.
If it does fit your schedule to watch the show live, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 1 a.m. UTC. Sorry, people in Europe. I know.
But they've been on.
Yeah. But you can watch it at VOBS.TV. It's a lot of fun. We have the chat room. You get to ask questions. It's a blast.
Absolutely. Let's see here. We got to thank our sponsors. Harlan Hogan over at VoiceOverEssentials.com.
VoiceOver Extra.
Great newspaper. Well, it's not a paper. It's actually it's what we call a digital rag.
I used to call them e-zines for
a while. Yeah, that one didn't stick. Gone.
So 90s.
All right. Just, it's on the internet. You can read it John Florian has great stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Edge Studio.
My employers.
Your employers. That's right. Source Elements and Source Connect that they produce for us. Rehearsal App from David H. Lawrence, the 17th. Thank you guys for helping us out and sponsoring our show and providing uninterrupted live bandwidth for this. So it just bangs out there. Nothing can stop it.
No interrupting ads.
Nothing.
Except ours, the important ones.
Right.
That's the important thing.
All right. Volunteers. We need volunteers. It's not like the volunteer fire company. We just need people to come and help us with the production of the show.
The show is completely volunteer run. From the production of the show to the promotion of the show to booking the guests.
To the hosts.
Doing the switching. It's all voluntarily run. So if you'd like to be helpful to us in some way, if you have a skill like graphic design, or if you're really awesome at social media.
Baking cookies. Very important.
Or if you're in the valley, in the San Fernando Valley area, and it's not hard for you to come in and be a floor manager like Karen, our friend tonight.
Yay, Karen.
And we'd really appreciate it. You can just email us at theguys@vobs.tv.
Right. And you get to see the show live.
And participate in it.
Not
every episode we have a live audience, so it's a pretty exclusive little audience.
That's right. All righty. Let's see.
Last but not least. Right,
yes. Well, there's also, if you have a question, send them to us. We're here to answer your questions about home voiceover technology. theguys@vobs.tv.
I think they got that one now. Hopefully.
But we're telling them again so they don't forget.
You got to say like six
Carve
or seven times.
Carve it in times. Your arm.
Yeah, seven times. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks to our wives.
Thanks to our wives, and they were both very helpful tonight.
By letting me leave the house.
By letting you leave the house and various other things. Mm-hmm. And Marcy for minding our house, mm-hmm. showing people where the bathroom is, things like that. Mm-hmm. And for all she puts up with every Monday night. Our producer, Catherine Curtin, who gets us fabulous guests like Dave Fennoy.
That's right. These guests don't book themselves, folks.
No, they don't. They may have been booked, but they've never been. They don't book themselves.
Different thing.
Anthony Gettig, of course, for the great job he does in the chat room, especially mm-hmm. tonight, getting us all those questions from our fantastic chat room audience. Shelley Avellino, when Anthony's busy doing something else. And Anthony's actually back up in the Keweenaw Peninsula tonight.
Oh, that's good.
Freezing his tuchus off.
Poor guy.
Yes. And
stage manager Karen O'Brien tonight.
And Jim, I can never remember your last name, Jim.
Jim Manzo.
He's new.
TDing us tonight.
For doing all the switching and stuff, letting George be George.
Awesome.
And Jack DeGoli, of course, for the show notes. And Lee Pinney for being Lee Pinney and helping with the podcast.
And scene.
Thanks for joining us once again for another episode of VoiceOver Body Shop.
Jim took that literally.
That was awesome. We're not done yet.
That was awesome, Jim.
He's new, isn't he?
No, he's just listening. He's taking it literally.
Oh, okay.
No, but let's take a night.
All right. Good night. All right. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver Body Shop, or VOBS. Absolutely. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Monday night.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us once again for another episode of VoiceOver Body Shop.